All right, Alexander, we need to talk about what's going on with Brexit, the UK, and Joe Biden. And it looks like Despacito Joe Biden, Despacito Biden. That's my new nickname for him, guys.
It's a good one. It's a good one. I like it. Like it very much.
Thank you. That's the first time anyone has heard this nickname, Despacito Biden. So, President Trump, if you use that name, please mention us in your tweet. Just put at the Duran, Despacito Biden, at the Duran. So, Alexander, here are the titles from three publications with very interesting titles, and I would like you to explain exactly what is going on. From the Irish Times, Joe Biden warns Britain the Belfast Agreement cannot become casualty of Brexit. Presidential candidate says any US-UK trade deal must be contingent upon respect for agreement. From The Guardian, Biden and Pelosi warn UK over risking Good Friday Agreement. And from CNBC, Biden says trade deal with Britain hangs on respect for Northern Irish peace agreement. In reaction to Biden's comments, Edward Argar, the UK's junior health minister, denied Thursday that the peace deal was at risk. The British government has put on a charm offensive this week with Dominic Raab, the foreign secretary, traveling to Washington to reassure lawmakers about the plans. Alexander, what's going on here?
Yes, I mean, I think before we proceed, I mean, it's important to say that this is a delicate issue for the British. Biden may not realizing it, but he's touching on some very sore nerves. There's an awful lot of people who voted for Brexit who still remember Barack Obama, the president of the United States, coming along, broadcasting during the Brexit referendum, telling people to vote Remain. And here we see Joe Biden, you know, prospective candidate for the Democratic Party, perhaps one, you know, the man who wants to be president, Barack Obama's vice president, interfering again in a very, very sensitive internal British political issue, and again taking a factional side, supporting, in effect, Remainers, the Remain establishment, against a pro-Brexit conservative government, but also pro-Brexit opinion. Now, what is Biden talking about? What is this all about? Now, we've done programmes about this recently. When Theresa May was Prime Minister, she agreed to this extraordinary deal with the European Union, the withdrawal agreement, whereby the EU would retain a soft border, in fact, a non-existent border with Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is this part of the United Kingdom. It's a province of the United Kingdom on the territory of Ireland, to which Ireland claims, you know, that it should be part of Ireland, and which some people in Northern Ireland, a majority of the people of Northern Ireland, want to remain for the moment a part of the United Kingdom. It's part of the United Kingdom. It's claimed by Ireland. A lot of people, it's been a source of great division. There's been conflict there. There was a long conflict which lasted between 1969 and 1990, and which was eventually resolved in what is called the Blair, the Good Friday Agreement. These are tripartite negotiations between the British government, the various forces, the factions that have been fighting within Northern Ireland, and the government of the Irish Republic. That was the Good Friday Agreement. And one of the underpinnings of this, if you like, or so mythology says, is this soft Irish border, this idea that, you know, people from the north and the south of Ireland can travel across to the whole of the island of Ireland without having to go through customs checks or borders or anything like that. So the European Union got Theresa May to agree that whatever happened, that soft border would remain. And by making that commitment, that was the so-called backstop, if you remember, by making that agreement, because Northern Ireland is an integral part of the United Kingdom, what essentially Theresa May committed Britain to was an indefinite membership of the European single market, because that is what is needed to make a non-existent trade border work. You have to be part of the European single market. Now, Boris Johnson became prime minister in massive reaction against this concession, but he had to get Brexit through the British Parliament, the withdrawal agreement through the British Parliament, through quickly. So what he did was he did this deal with Macron, the French president, in which he, to some extent, unpicked this massive concession that Theresa May had made. He said, look, Britain can go its own way, can start working on sorting itself out with its own trade arrangements as part of this withdrawal agreement. But Northern Ireland itself, this part of the United Kingdom, will be to some extent separated from the rest of the United Kingdom and will remain in certain areas a part of the European single market, so that people can go drifting backwards and forwards between the two parts of Ireland as they had been doing before. This, however, was supposed to be for only a set period of time, and these arrangements were going to be sorted out and worked out once there had been a free trade deal between Britain and the European Union, which would then encompass Northern Ireland. So at that point, Northern Ireland would stop being in the European single market. It would become part of, you know, the British single market instead. Now, what happened was, and I'm sorry, this is a complicated thing, but I hope I'm explaining it clearly. What then happened was classical European Union negotiating style. They basically dug in. They started making all sorts of demands of the British in return for this trade deal. They wanted concessions from the British on fisheries. They wanted concessions from the British on state aid to industries. They wanted, in other words, to retain control of large swathes of the British economy. And again, they were using this commitment to a soft border in Ireland to try to extract them. So recently, Boris Johnson has said, enough is enough. The Europeans are not negotiating in good faith. I accordingly am prepared to pass legislation which will rewrite the withdrawal agreement that was agreed a year ago, and which led to Britain leaving the European Union, in order to reintegrate Northern Ireland with the rest of Britain and take it out of the single market, whether the European Union likes it or not, in order that Brexit can happen and Britain can leave the European Union as a single united country in which every single part of the Britain is treated in exactly the same way. That's what Boris Johnson has said. Now, the Europeans have got up and said, this is all outrageous, it's shocking, it breaks international law, it puts in jeopardy the peace agreement in Northern Ireland, and it risks violence there by perhaps creating a hard border. The Remainers in Britain are saying the same thing, predictably. Both the European Union and the Remainers in Britain are doing it because they want to force Johnson to retreat so that they can then force upon him further concessions, which will keep Britain integrated to a greater degree than many people want within the EU. What has now happened is that Joe Biden has weighed in publicly on the side of the European Union and the Remainers. He has said to Boris Johnson, in effect, if you go ahead with this law, you're not going to get a trade deal with the United States if I become president. Now, he's dressing it up. He says, again, this is going to put in jeopardy peace in Northern Ireland. he doesn't want to say it's all about, you know, a dispute between Britain and the European Union. He wants to talk about, pretend it's all about peace in Northern Ireland. He says, he implies it's going to violate the Good Friday Agreement. Actually, it doesn't. There's no provision in the Good Friday Agreement which this law of Boris Johnson's violates. So smoke and mirrors from Biden. Once again, Biden siding with the Remainer establishment in Britain, just as Barack Obama did. Once again, Biden siding with the European Union against Britain, as Barack Obama once did. It's the same story from the Democrats and interference in British politics in a way that is very unwelcome to many people here.
Really interesting. If Biden were to win, God please help us, but if Biden were to win, then the UK would be in a really difficult position, because Biden is essentially saying, if I'm president, like you said, if I'm president, there is no trade deal, in which case the UK now has left the EU. It can't get a trade deal with the US under President Biden. And the EU is sitting there saying, you're going to have to negotiate on our terms, in which case our terms are, yes, you leave the European Union, but via Northern Ireland and the situation there, we're going to keep you under at least some sort of economic control.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Well, yes, it does. It puts Britain in a very difficult position because, of course, a lot of people in Britain had calculated that it was a sort of binary choice, that if Britain leaves the European Union, then it could proceed and do a trade deal with the United States, and it will just be doing trade with another great economic union with which it has much more in common in some ways than it has with the European Union. But I want to make one very important point. I think that if this were to happen, Britain still has the option of carrying on. It remains a big economy. It trades with many countries around the world. It's just done a big trade deal with Japan. I think it is a misconception to think that Britain has to do a trade deal with the United States in order to survive and prosper economically. I think if Biden won't do a trade deal, I think the British should carry on. What do they say, you know, in Britain, keep calm and carry on. I think that is exactly what they should do. And sooner or later, probably sooner rather than later, even a Biden-led US would probably start to agree some kind of trade arrangements with Britain, if not a great overarching trade deal in its own interests. Because if it doesn't do so, Britain will start to make economic friendships elsewhere, as it can do. The world is not the world is not limited to the European Union and the United States. I'm not saying, you know, that Britain needs to develop relations with countries that are hostile to it, but, you know, there's Australia, there's Canada, there's lots of Asian countries, there's places in the Middle East, and of course it can continue to trade with both the European Union and the United States on world trade terms. So it would be problematic. It might be a bit of a blow psychologically, but it would not be a catastrophe, not by any measure. It might actually solve for Boris Johnson some political problems, because there are some people in Britain who actually support Brexit but are worried that as part of a trade deal with the US, Britain might be making more concessions on things like animal welfare and the National Health Service than it would particularly want to do. So, you know, bear that in mind. This is not make or break, and it should certainly not be make or break over Brexit. British, or at least English, opinion on Brexit now, I think, is very clear. It's not going to shift. It's not dependent upon a trade deal with the United States. And I think Boris Johnson understands that. And I think that is ultimately what is driving the political calculus.
All right. So Trump wins the election and the trade deal with the US is not an issue. Boris Johnson knows he has that in his back pocket.
Yes.
How does he approach the EU? How does he solve this issue with the EU in order to create a win for the UK and perhaps something acceptable for the European Union? What's the formula to success here?
Let's just game plan that. Trump wins the election, remains president. Negotiations on a trade deal between the US and Britain accelerate. And, you know, it becomes a certainty that that trade deal is coming. I mean, there may be all kinds of difficult issues along the way, but it'll come. That is going to be a massive psychological blow for the EU. I mean, losing Britain to the US would be a very big blow to the EU. Bear in mind, Britain was the second biggest economy in the EU after Germany. So, I mean, it would be a massive shock, and that should not be underestimated. And that might, by the way, if it really looks like it's going to happen, which it probably would after a Trump victory, that might in itself cause the EU to start making concessions to Britain simply in order to balance out the fact that, you know, otherwise Britain will start to drift away from Europe and towards the US. So that's one thing. But ultimately, it seems to me that the ball, as we say, is in the EU court. The British have said they're going to leave. They've tried to get the Europeans to understand for 4 years that they actually mean it. The Europeans have been very reluctant to accept that. So instead of negotiating for an amicable and friendly departure, which would have always been possible, what they have consistently done is that they've made maximalist demands of the British and worked with Remainer forces within Britain to try to get the British to reverse course. What the Europeans need to do and understand is that that strategy has completely failed. It's not going to succeed. What they need to do is negotiate a free trade deal with the British in earnest. They've got free trade deals with other countries like Canada, for example, and that's what they should work towards. If they do that, there is no reason why Britain and the EU could not operate together with each other in a perfectly friendly way, though Britain would still, in that case, obviously press ahead with its new trade deals with countries like Japan and the US and Australia and any other country that wants to trade with Britain and with which Britain wants to trade.
How do you solve the situation, though, with Ireland and Northern Ireland? How is Boris going to approach that, and how is the EU gonna look at that?
Well, I'm going to make a number of points about Ireland. Firstly, I went to Northern Ireland a year ago, and one thing was absolutely clear to me, and that is that there is no desire on anybody's part in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, to resume the conflict there. So I think peace in Ireland is much more stable than some people are claiming that it is. That is one thing. The second thing is that it's actually, you know, become a surprisingly prosperous place in some ways. It does very well out of the connection with Britain. But I think overall and in time, and I said this before in other programs, the drift of opinion in Northern Ireland is increasingly towards eventual union with the South. So I think in time, this problem will solve itself by Ireland, Northern Ireland, opting for union with Southern Ireland. I didn't think that before I went there. I do think that now. I don't think the British will stand in the way of that. But they don't want it now because they don't want to create the example for Scotland. And they certainly don't want it to happen in a way that looks like it's been engineered by the EU. That will create enormous bitterness and anger if it happens. So give it 10 years, as I said, the problem will solve itself, and in a peaceful way and in an orderly way. And in the meantime, there's no reason, in my opinion, to expect huge problems in Northern Ireland, even if, you know, Johnson passes this law, claws back some of the concessions he made to get the withdrawal agreement done, and Northern Ireland is reintegrated in the United Kingdom. I think what is important at the moment psychologically for the British is the feeling that they are leaving the EU a united country. And I think letting the Europeans create divisions between them would be completely unacceptable to many people here. And I have to say, letting people like Biden and Pelosi create divisions between them would do the same.
Yeah, that would be foolish.
It would be incredibly foolish. Yeah. I mean, I say something. I mean, you know, I'm speaking now to a lot of our viewers are in the United States. There's a long history of American politicians, lecturing the British over Ireland. The British don't like it. I think that's a point to make. I mean, it's not something that goes down well. And when when Obama lectured them over Brexit, it went down incredibly badly. And many people in Britain are going to see these lectures from Biden, these threats from Biden and Pelosi, as an attempt to derail Brexit, which is what British people, at least English voters, clearly have said they want.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that red subscribe button. Please subscribe to the channel. You will get notifications every time we push a new video out. Hopefully you'll get notifications from YouTube when we publish a new video. And hopefully you will get notifications when we do a live stream. Also, please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps out this channel a whole lot. We are a small channel, but we're trying to put out as much news as we possibly can. And of course, another way you can help us out is when you go to the Durant shop and pick up some merchandise. And I know for a fact, before I show my UK, this is my UK magic mug, which improves my geopolitical IQ by at least 100 points and improves my political IQ on the UK by at least 500 points. I know that you have some more new merchandise that you are wearing, Alexander. New merchandise.
As you can see, well, some of you may have noticed, those of you with eagle eyes, that I'm actually wearing a new, amazing, wonderful, remarkable, brilliant Duran shirt, long sleeved, with our very own, you can see it there. You've got the double headed eagle of the Duran there. You can see right on the heart. This one, it's perfect, perfectly positioned, beautifully made, amazingly comfortable. The Duran shirts, always the best shirts anywhere, 100% cotton. They were the best shirts before. They've actually got better. They're just amazing shirts. They look fantastic. And they're coming now with the flags of many, many countries. And I think Alex has got one at the moment with a country there. So we are going to get, no, we're not. He's got the Duran. He's got the Duran double-headed eagle, just as I do. So we have these amazing shirts, long sleeve, short sleeve, polo neck, embroidered. This is an embroidered shirt. You can see how beautiful this is. This is one of the most elegant shirts I can imagine. My wife absolutely adores me in it. It looks fantastic. It looks wonderful. They're the best shirts. And by the way, you come to our shop, you will find that we've got lots and lots of new products of lots of kinds. We've got new shirts, obviously. We've got polo shirts. We've got T-shirts, long sleeve and short sleeved. We've got lots of them with flags. We've got lots of them embroidered. We've also got our amazing mugs. And Alex has shown you the British mug. I've got the Australian mug next to me. Australia, a country that we feel great kindred feelings for here in Britain. We've also got enamel mugs. And here's a mug with the flag of England, which is the core kingdom of the United Kingdom. So you see, you've got all these amazing mugs, all these amazing shirts. We've got also amazing hoodies too. And the range of those is expanding massively. And we've got amazing hats, embroidered hats and trucker's hats and baseball hats and hats with flags. You will find them all in our shop. and we've got ebooks too. And you will support our channel if you come to our shop, and you will be the owner of these wonderful things if you come to our shop. So here I am, proud in and glorious in my new long-sleeved Duran t-shirt, with embroidered t-shirt with the Duran double-headed eagle there. And you will find that shirt and lots of others in our shop. So come to that shop and support our channel.
All right, you can find information for our shop in the link down below, the durantshop.com. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.